This is Melbourne calling. Welcome to Granny Bingo Wireless. Remove your tunic and wait for me on the sofa. Toodle-pip.
Hey, come over here, go over there. Don't be scared now, yeah. Lift up your head, hold out your hand. Pull up your pants now. Why did you pull down your pants? We only just met, but that's why I like you. People connecting, grandma's laughing. Nostalgia and ethnic dancing.
Oh, and that was It's Not Unusual by Tom Jones.
Is he still getting around?
He is,
for years.
Hello, listeners, right. And welcome to Granny Bingo.
I liked What's Up, Pussycat. That was my
favourite
one.
That was a good
one
as well.
The Pussycat
song. Yeah, it was.
Yeah.
My name is Ms. Edith Vale. And I'm joined here by two people.
I believe he did the Las Vegas for a very long time.
He did do the Las Vegas.
In the 1960s.
He did, yes, that's right, Maureen. Maureen McGillicuddy. Maureen, say hello to everybody.
Hello, everybody.
And I'm also joined, of course, sadly.
Delilah. That's the other one. I love Delilah. He sang that
he
too.
He did,
that was
you're right.
Great song.
Yes, yeah, very good. Also joined by Caroline Springs, who is...
G'day, Cass.
Hello, Caroline.
She's got a new Tamagotchi.
Yeah, how are you going with your Tamagotchi? We haven't put batteries in it, but she doesn't know. How's your Tamagotchi, Caroline? Have you fed it? Good girl. Yeah, she's trying to feed it the chum that we left in the bowl for her. That's so cute. If you could call her cute. Patches of hair have started coming off in clumps. We're not sure what that's from, but...
Oh, I wish I had a Tamagotchi.
You're very lucky, Caroline. Very lucky girl. Welcome to the pod, Maureen. So, what have you been up to? What's been happening, girl?
I've been pretty busy. I've got an issue with my wrist at the moment, so I've been in and out of the doctors. My wrist doesn't do all the things that it used to do.
Well, you don't get out as often, you know. It's hard to find a man around the nursing home.
What do I do with a man and my wrist? What does that have to do with anything?
Cooking.
Ah, yeah. Well, that's what half the problem was. I picked up a frying pan. It almost felt like someone had judo chopped me in the wrist. I'd just drop it straight in the ground. They think it's Metro Tunnel Syndrome or something. Oh, it hurts like a bugger.
It's Metro Tunnel Syndrome. I thought they got rid of that. I thought they cured that. I thought that was gone now. That was
No, that was the outer circle syndrome.
Ah, right.
No. Oh, it's an absolute pain in the bum.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
And you know the worst thing, because my doctor's down the end of... well, we both go to the same doctor, for those of you listening.
Dr. O'Malley. Friend of the pod.
He's down the end of Russell Street, not the one in the city, the one in Mordialloc.
No.
And if you get down to the end of Russell Street, there's a roundabout, and he's on there. Now, I don't like driving to the doctors, mostly because I don't own a car. So if I don't get a taxi, then I have to walk. And I don't so much mind the walk, it's just that at my age, I can't walk that far. So I take a shopping trolley. I like the one from Coles.
Coles in Mordialloc, it doesn't need the tokens, but the Woolworths, it does take the tokens, doesn't
Where
it?
Where am I meant to get tokens from, can I ask?
No tokens on this podcast. Absolutely,
absolutely not.
Not.
So anyway, what was I talking about?
Public telephone boxes, I think, Lev.
Oh, that's right. Sorry. Yes. Well, I thought they were a wonderful idea because I don't like making phone calls on the mobile on account of the fact that they give you brain cancer.
Yes.
And so I use it for texting and for playing solitaire on my phone.
And sometimes you go out to the phone booth so you can have a smoke.
Well, I have a smoke. And try to find a phone booth on the streets now. Thankfully, there's one at the end of the street I live in, Russell Street, where Dr. O'Malley's is. Do you know that?
Mm-mm. Yes, I know the one you're talking about, yes.
I miss phone booths because they were much more efficient. Stay with me on this one. Now on a mobile phone, I put it to my ear and I say, oh, hello, how have you been? Yes. Yeah, sure. No, I've already paid that bill. You say something like that and no one can really hear you. You could make a phone call in any bloody room that you wanted to. But back in the day with phone boxes, not only did the person you were talking to hear what you had to say, but everybody around you also got to hear what you were saying. It saved so much time. I didn't have to call 6 or 7 people all at once. And privacy wasn't so much of an issue. In the same way that before cybersecurity, we used to just print all of our names in a big book. And
a big phone book was called the Yellow Pages. This will scare the millennials. Guess what it was made of?
Paper!
And you got a new one every year. It weighed about the same amount as a 4-year-old. And that's where the forests have gone. Because I every now and then wanted to call somebody whose number I hadn't written down.
And now you can't use paper because it's illegal.
I call anyone with the same initials as me, E. Vale. And I try and convince them to change their name. I didn't want any other E-Vales in the phone book in case any of my important calls were getting through to them.
That's just logical and smart.
That's how I met my friend Edith Vale.
I miss the old days. What was I saying again?
Something about Palestine, I think.
Oh, that's right. Palestine, yes. It might seem a bit simplistic, but I think that would end the whole thing.
Yeah, no, good points there, Maureen. Very good points.
Thank you. Anyway, enough about me. What have you been doing?
Ah, well, I had the great-grandchildren coming to visit last weekend.
What are their names again? I always forget them.
Oh, I don't know. They've all got stupid made-up names. You know, one of them's called Sheriff.
Oh.
And one of them's called Daffodil. And one of them's called Edith, which I think's very nice.
That's
a beautiful name, Edith. But they, of course, always come to visit once a year. I don't like their parents, and I know that their parents don't like me, but they always come to visit on the third weekend of November every single year like clockwork. So of course I booked us in for a gig so that we weren't home. So Maureen and I went to perform at Strawberry Fields, which is a festival. It's just outside of Tokenwall, which is a beautiful little town.
It's an old war town.
Old war town on the Murray River. Oh, it was lovely. Do you want to tell the kids what we were doing at Strawberry Fields, of course, and what it is?
I can tell you this much. I wasn't picking any bloody strawberries because false advertising. Not one single strawberry, but we were asked to go and impart some of our humour and wisdom with the young kids who were spending the weekend off their faces rolling around in the dust. So we hosted a little bingo there in one of the various structures that they have in place at Strawberry Fields, and thank you so much for having us.
Oh, it was lovely, wasn't it? I met some lovely people. Hello to Tim, who won one of the rounds of bingo, who taught me how to do a shoey.
Hmm. And Edith has not stopped drinking out of shoes since.
Oh, I'm obsessed with it. I love it. I've thrown out all the glassware at the home.
I put my foot into a piping hot cup of coffee last week. Edith, it's not funny.
I'm sorry. It's not, no. It's just daiquiris taste so much better in a gumboot, Maureen. I can't help myself.
It's the PVC rubber that gets into it. I know what you mean. I just, if you can leave my slippers out of it, I'd appreciate it.
No worries. We did have a lot of fun at Strawberry Fields. We do a few of these festivals now. We've done the Gay Times and that sort of thing before. Mm-hmm. So it was great to go and to meet all those lovely little kiddies that we met. But I must say, I don't know whose birthday it was to any of the kids that are listening that were at Strawberry Fields. I don't know whose birthday it was, but my God, they must have had the most boring birthday party because you lot have no idea how to blow up balloons. It's terrible, this generation, Maureen. Have you seen them? Breathe into the balloon, then close it off, then take another breath out of the balloon and then blow into the balloon again. They're sucking and blowing and sucking and blowing in and out and in and out. Shocking, shocking.
Oh, really?
And I don't know who is in charge of the birthday cake either, but you should have just asked. Ask. I had some spare flour in the car. They're all walking around with these tiny little plastic bags of flour that they've all brought from home.
Think of the environment.
I know, you know. They've all said, oh, Mum, can I have a gram of flour? You know, I don't know what they were thinking. Shocking, shocking.
That's stupid.
And it must have been the most bland bloody cake when they did bake it, Maureen, because you see them all walking around with the cream whipping canisters?
I saw them everywhere.
Yeah. And did you see one single person walking around with any bloody cream?
I got a Boston bun, but that was on the way home. No, I don't think I did.
No, No, it's this generation, Maureen. They just don't think.
No.
Anyway, so I'm sure that that one person whose birthday it was might not have been having a very good time, but the 18,000 other people that were at the festival seemed like they were having a very good time.
I saw a few people, in fact, I'd say close to 18,000 people, who were so excited and having a good time that they didn't sleep. They didn't want to miss a thing. They just stayed awake for 4 days.
It was like Santa was coming up the next day.
Yep.
Did you get lucky at all, Maureen? I know you've been a little bit on the prowl lately, looking for perhaps a Mr. McGillicuddy.
Oh, my God, don't ask me questions like that. I'll be so embarrassed. No, I did not get a route this weekend, unfortunately. I really did want to. I was out and up for fun. But I guess the problem is, if you've only got the Murray River as an option to have a bath in, I don't think I want anyone visiting Tasmania, if you know what I mean.
No, fair enough, yes.
But it's not totally unfamiliar to me, bathing in the Murray River. Not many people will know this, but years ago, I lived up in Moama with my grandmother for a few years, and I was what was known as a river girl. And us river girls were there to entertain the locals, and we would stand there almost like, you know, sirens in the bush. We'd stand naked in the Murray River, splashing and playing and all this sort of thing, and they'd all sort of say, how about you for the night? Now, I'm not an idiot. I used to charge top dollar for bottom service, if you know what I'm saying. So washing in the Murray's not totally new. I'm a river girl from way back.
How much did you make?
Well, one day I made, it was back in the old money, £300.50.
Who did you charge 50 pence to?
All of them.
Oh, Maureen. Well, speaking of travel, that's not the only trip we're doing this year for our art. We're also very excited to announce here on this podcast that we're coming up to Sydney, aren't we, love?
I love Sydney. It's the best. That was the opening theme song for the 2000 Olympics.
As you'll all know, we've got our Christmas special coming up in Melbourne on the 4th of December, and that's sold so well that we've added a second one on the 18th of December in Melbourne, and that one's nearly sold out as well. So we thought, you know what? The poor kids up in Sydney have been missing out on Granny Bingo for long enough. We're going to bring it up to them. So we've popped a Granny Bingo on. It's happening at the Universal on Oxford Street, and that's on the 8th, Friday the 8th of December, 7 p.m. Now, you will need to book a little ticket. Jump onto Nana's social media. That's Granny Bingo on Instagram, or Edith Vale and Maureen McGillicuddy on Facebook, and you can grab yourself a ticket. I am so excited. We haven't been able to do a show in Sydney for years, have we, love?
No, and I really did enjoy it. They're a nice crowd who come along to our shows, and I don't think they quite understand us, and I don't quite understand them.
I think it's the language barrier.
I'm not going to know. I'm going to need to bring a translator.
I love them up in Sydney. I just think they've got such wonderful manners. I remember quite a few years ago, we were staying at a hotel in Sydney. I can't remember what it was called, but Maureen, Caroline and I had gone up for the weekend. We thought we'd go up for a little girls' trip.
Mm-hmm.
And we hadn't seen much of Maureen because, of course, there was an all-you-can-eat buffet table down in the foyer.
Yeah.
Caroline and I were out taking photos of the Sydney Opera House and, you know, the Harbour Bridge and clean footage paths and all the sorts of things we don't have in Melbourne. And Maureen preferred to spend most of the holiday at this buffet. Well, you know, the last day comes around and she's down there all day. And eventually we had to go to the airport. Caroline and I went down to see her. And she was sitting there. You should have seen her, listeners. It was so much. She had tomato sauce all down her front. She had a prawn tail coming out of her hair. You know,
that was a lobster leg, thank you.
Kung Pao chicken stains all over her shirt. You know, it was embarrassing. So embarrassing.
I don't think it was that.
But the lovely people of Sydney, no one said a word to her.
No, they've got good manners, people in Sydney. They've got good manners.
They've got good manners. They sat there. They looked at her. I could see what was going on. I know they could because they were staring at her like that. People were taking photos of her. But she had no idea. They were all so well-mannered. They kept their snickers to themselves, you know. And I didn't want to upset her. I didn't say anything. So we went and we got on the monorail because they still had that. We went to the airport. We got on the aeroplane. No one said a word. The flight attendants were taking photos and that's no one said a word until we got back to Melbourne. And we got in the cab and the cab driver said, gee, you've had a big lunch, haven't you?
How rude. I said, mate, what's with your manners, you know? What happened that weekend, actually, Edith, was that I invented brunch. Just for the listeners' benefit, I went down for the breakfast buffet. It started at 6:45 a.m. I went down at 5. And everything they brought out, I thought, oh, gee whiz, sushi for breakfast. I'll give that a try. And apparently I looked so scary that no one approached me to stop eating that morning. And I ate all the way through until 2 p.m. And we got home, as Edith said, on the plane, got in the taxi, and he said, oh, you had a big lunch. I said, actually, no. I had breakfast into lunch, and there was the birth of brunch. Victoria's got the strongest economy in the country, thanks to brunch.
Thanks to Sydney.
Thanks to me.
So thanks to Sydney, thanks to you, and we can't wait to come up and see you, Sydney. It's going to be a fun little night. Make sure you book your tickets.
And of course, tell your friends, there's plenty of room for everybody, and we'll be having prizes, and you'll get to have a picky with Maureen, and all sorts of things. As long as I don't go to King's Cross, it's not got a very good reputation, but the second time I ever went to Sydney was in October of 1978. My dad had just come back from World War II. He went backpacking for about 38 years after the war, and I went up to see him in Sydney. I said, Dad, you're home! Of course, by this stage, I was 50. He didn't recognise me, but they're so good-mannered up there, Ed, that as we walked through the King's Cross, every single one of the women on the street dipped their hat and said thank you to my father. I mean, that's good manners.
That is manners. You know? That is manners. That's lovely. All right, now, let's start as we always do by having a look through the newspaper and see what's been happening in the last week. Here we go. Got a fresh copy of the Herald Sun right here. Ah, now, here we go. Yes, we have to address this, unfortunately. There's been a topic in the news that we have been avoiding talking about on this podcast, haven't we, Maureen?
I just don't think it's our place to say anything.
Yeah, look, it's a topic that's been front page news. On all of the newspapers that I read, at least. And
I'm not one of them. I'm not one of them. I'm not either of them, you know. So it's touchy.
It is hard. It's hard to sort of give an opinion when you're not from either side of the argument, isn't it?
And especially the drama around it, you know. It's 24/7 coverage on the news.
That's right.
On all the time.
Yeah, yes. And people have pointed out that it has been glaringly absent from the Granny Bingo Wireless podcast. People have accused us of being frightened to tackle the big topics, you know.
You're speaking to the wrong people. We will tackle it when it's the right time.
Yes, and I think that we've, you know, now done our research and we've educated ourselves. And I think that it is now time, perhaps, to talk about this very difficult topic. Of course, listeners, if you're reading the same Herald Sun that I am, then you'll be aware of this topic. It is the fact that Daniel Andrews has been blocked from joining the Porchy Golf Club.
I mean, where do we start? Where do we start?
We haven't had a story like this since 9/11. We've never really had any bad words to say about Daniel Andrews. No, he's always been a wonderful representative of this country. But I think it's unfair, you know, I do think it's unfair to not let him access that land. I mean, you know, he's Victorian born and bred. He played golf here for many, many, many years, and now all of a sudden these people are saying that he's not allowed to be here. He's been expelled from the golf course. I've got to say, I don't think that's acceptable.
It's not good enough. I mean, what it's really coming down to is the factions, isn't it? There's some who believe that this is sort of a sacred club and, you know, some people can't come in. And there's others who think that this is, you know, the golf club, the only golf club. And so they're trying to say, well, you can't come in because you're not like us. Mm. And it's these factions that build out, that create all the tension, which I think is very sad. I've been to the Portsea Golf Club. I've travelled there. I had to be guided through, of course. We had to have a special assigned member of the staff there, and they walked us through. There were things that they didn't show us. There's things that, you know, is public knowledge, and they wouldn't show us on this tour. There are secrets on both sides, I think.
Their official stance is that it's retaliation to Dan for withholding during COVID the supplies that they really needed and the flow of people that they really needed to keep that golf club going. So, you know, there is arguments on both sides, and it is a difficult topic. But
poor Daniel Andrews, though. And you know what? At the end of the day, he's white. I mean, what are white men meant to do if they can't play golf at the Portsea Golf Club?
It is concerning once middle-aged white men can't even get into a golf club. You've really got to start wondering about their policies. I mean, there's four pages of information in this story here. There's a lot to talk. Oh, here we go. There's more here. It says here there's been another development. Steve Price.
Oh.
He was on the project. I think he's fantastic.
Oh, he used to be on AW in the afternoons. I think he's wonderful.
He's really switched on. I think he's fantastic. He says here that he will rip up his membership if Daniel Andrews is allowed to join the Portsea Golf Club. I mean, that's not very nice of Dan to make Steve rip. Poor Steve just wants
he's
to
already
keep
a
going
member.
And playing golf. And now Dan is going to make him
membership.
Rip up his passport. I've always liked Daniel Andrews, but I'm sorry.
That's terrible.
To me, Maureen.
Now that I've heard that,
he is a bastard.
I mean, he's going to go down there with what?
You know,
an iron and maybe a chip.
I wouldn't even think he's got a whole set of golf clubs.
What's he
going
to start off a team, mate? He hasn't had time to play golf. His handicap would be terrible because Daniel Andrews is a bastard.
Sorry to say it, listeners, but I don't trust the man any longer. All right, what else is in here? Oh, this is interesting. New research suggests that ChatLGBT.
Yes.
AI is being used unethically in the classroom, workplace, and personal lives.
So is it? It's on the internet, is it?
That's right, yeah.
Okay, so if I get my computer, hey, ChatGPT.
No, you'll have to go Google it.
Oh, okay. Yes, I see.
Oh, is the internet connected?
Oh, no, it's not. That's why it's not. Hang on a minute, I'll just plug it in. Elsie! Sorry, Eddie, I just need to... Elsie's on the phone. Elsie! Can you hang up the phone, please, love? Because I need to get on the internet. No, I know that your brother's dying in hospital, Elsie. Well, you speaking to him on the phone is not going to make him any better.
How many brothers has that woman got?
It's not going to make him any better, love. He's going to die, and he's going to die.
One less tomorrow,
in a matter of hours. So hang up the phone and say your last goodbyes. Elsie. Thank you. Sorry, Eddie.
Tell her she's out of bridge if she doesn't hang up.
She's hung up. She's hung up. She heard you. All right, and... Okay, we're plugged in.
Right, now go to the Google.
Google.
And go to the search. Click on the search function. Oh, that's your history. What does that say? Sexy man.
Oh, don't. That's not mine. This is a public computer.
Sexy Middle Eastern man. No, sexy man with mustache. Sexy man looking for older ladies. Maureen, that's dirty.
Well, it's better than the old stuff I used to watch. Anyway, chat BP. What do you want to ask it, Edie?
Oh, I don't know. Who has the most wonderful, funny bingo night in Melbourne?
Bingo night in Melbourne. Go. As of my last knowledge update of January 2022, that's when I stopped learning too. I don't have specific information on which venue in Melbourne has the most wonderful. This thing's broken. It says it's Melbourne has a vibrant entertainment scene.
You were asking something, Molly.
Okay. ChatGPT, how do you get rid of hair in your front bum? Hair removal in the genital area? Is that a genital? It says here to use an epilator. The young people probably don't know what an epilator is. Do people still use epilators?
I've not heard of someone using an epilator since Princess Fergie was still fashionable.
Well, for those of you listening, epilators are essentially like a farming device.
That's why Princess Fergie loved it so much, actually, I think.
They spin around and they close clamp. It's almost like a bunch of tweezers very slowly pulling out every single hair anywhere on your body with electrical charge.
Well, that's very useful. What a wonderful tool. I can really see that replacing human beings. Shall we have another look through the paper?
Yes, please. What else has been happening?
What else have we got here? Oh, here, you can read this one.
Thank you very much. You're joking. My favourite TV show's back on.
Which one is it?
Oh, well, you know, I was so excited when Neighbours came back on earlier this year, and I was so excited a few years ago when they brought back MasterChef. I thought that was going to be... Well, my favourite TV show of all time is back, Big Brother Uncut.
Oh, you loved Uncut. Oh, yes, I remember you used to stay up late with the TV volume down very low so you didn't get caught, yes. Yep. And you'd watch, what's his name, with the big willy on the...
Dean.
With the big old Gough Whitlam.
I only watch television, people probably don't know this, I only watch television where there's a guaranteed chance that I'm going to see a Jolly Roger. I loved Dean, he had a huge one, Gordon had a huge one, Jamie had a huge one.
Often I'll find Maureen up late at night just watching documentaries on the SBS about tribes and things.
I think in another lifetime I probably would have been a nudist, a naturist at some point, but it's too late for me now, I think. Hot dogs, I like hot dogs. He didn't have a very big one, but he was a nice guy.
I'll watch it, Maureen, but only if it lives up to its name. Uncut. Otherwise, I'm not interested.
Oh, yes. Have you ever been with a circumcised man, Edith?
Yes, but he wasn't when we went to bed, but he was when we got out.
Did he kick you in the chin, did he?
And now it's time for a word from one of our sponsors.
Tonight on SBS, the first in a four-part documentary on willies. We peel back the glistening foreskin of secrecy from all manner of throbbing todgers and delve 9 inches deep into the history behind the pokey pork sword. Dedicated researchers have scoured the globe in search of meat puppets of all kinds, from massive girthy chodes to petite purple-headed custard chuckers, bendy overripe tummy bananas to long and lanky womb ferrets. Don't miss this special event where experts spill the beans on skin flutes as we show you an almost inconceivable number and variety of sex slugs in the closest close-ups of genitalia ever shown on Australian television. Meet the Meat airs 7:30 p.m. tonight on SBS.
And thanks for our sponsors. I mean... We've got the sales team on the phone down on level 3 here at Granny Bingo HQ, and they do such a good job trying to get new sponsors on. So just a shout out on air to our incredible commercial sales team. Thanks, guys. See you at the Christmas party. it's now time for Agony Grands. Now, Agony Grands was originally a concept that was brought to us many years ago by the Dalai Lama. Not many people have had the chance to meet the Dalai Lama.
No, just us and Michelle Laurie, I believe.
Michelle Laurie, who's another terrific celebrity like us. So the Dalai Lama said to us, hey, I'm the fountain of knowledge, you know, I know everything, and, you know, everything that whatever god the Dalai Lama has, what's that? Anyway, it doesn't matter, probably the same one as ours. And he said, you have been touched by an angel, madam.
Because we went to school in Ballarat.
So that's what I've done with this blessed advice from the Pope of whatever religion that was. So here's the first one. Going off on a tangent here. Here's the first question, and thank you for sending them in. You can, of course, send them to us via Instagram. Dear Edith and Maureen, my ma passed away recently. It was expected. Well, then what are you writing about? And she had been battling for a while, so in some ways it was a relief. She left me some money, which I wasn't expecting, and wrote to me saying that she hopes I do something with it that makes me happy. I've always wanted to go travelling, so I think I'll do that. I know you have both been all over the world. Where would you recommend? That's Stephen in Port Lincoln. Thank you for writing in, Stephen, and what beautiful phrasing.
Thank you for writing in, Stephen. And I can understand that you'd want to go travelling if you lived in Port Lincoln.
Oh, don't get on the first bus.
Stephen, I'd recommend, you know, seeing Australia. So many people travel overseas, and we've done that. We've been all over the world, haven't we, Maureen? We've been to Kuta and Seminyak and Lambongan, yep. You know.
Changu.
Yeah, Changu. We've been absolutely everywhere, Stephen. And I can tell you're better off staying in Australia. In fact, I would recommend just getting a flight over to Sydney. I think that's a beautiful city.
Nice area.
I've heard the best time of year is probably around about the 8th of December.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be there on a Friday. You want to be there for the weekend.
You want to be in Sydney on a Friday, yeah. I'd go there 8th of December. And if you're in town, I'd probably spend some of your mum's money buying tickets to the Granny Bingo Sydney Christmas special, which, of course, happens to be by some miracle of coincidence, Stephen, happening that night in Sydney. Aren't you lucky? What are the chances of that happening,
Stephen? So goggle that and waste your mother's money on that.
Maureen, I've been wanting to get rid of this segment, and this letter has just really confirmed that we probably should. These are not the kind of people we want writing in, love.
No.
Look at this guy. If I had a child like Stephen, if I was up in heaven looking down on little Stephen, I'd be pretty disappointed.
Absolutely.
I read through this and I think, what a horrible child.
Mm-hmm.
You know, your mother's just died. Your mother has just died. She's been battling for a while, and your biggest concern is you want to go on holiday. You want to do something that makes you happy. You want to mother's hard-earned money. There was probably a treatment out there, and she probably thought, no, I won't spend the money on myself and my important treatment. I want to save it all for Stephen. Well, she's probably done that, Stephen.
Yep.
And all you can think about is going on a holiday. Well, I'm sorry that you're not the kind of person I want coming to Granny Bingo Christmas Special Sydney. So buy the ticket. Buy the tickets. But you're not coming. I won't let you in the door.
That's fair. I think that's fair. You know, it's really interesting how you interpret it. I mean, this is the age-old thing, isn't it, with the Granny Bingo podcast when we do Agony Grands. You read the letter in a different perspective than me.
It's interesting, isn't it? You can look at these things and read them differently, because I'm reading it again now and it says, my ma passed away recently. Doesn't say how.
Mm-hmm.
It was expected. Mm-hmm. Doesn't say who it was expected by.
He was expecting it, I've got no doubt.
She has been battling for a while. Battling what? Or, can I ask, battling whom?
Yes.
I think what we have here is a murder case. It was a relief when she died.
Yeah.
Stephen has murdered his mother. She was battling him, you know. She probably had some trash can as armour and a kitchen knife and battling away. He expected it. And she left him some money. Well, of course.
Yep.
You know, that's who you're going to go for, isn't it? Yeah. So, Stephen, Quickly book those tickets for the show, love, because we've got your address from the back of the envelope and the police are on their way, love. And if I know the New South Wales police, they will be there very fast.
And you're right, we have been all over the world. I would suggest, as someone who has escaped the charges of murder before, definitely go overseas. As we said, Canggu is fabulous at this time of year.
All right, shall we read another one? Here we go. I'll read
yes,
this one.
Yes, please.
If you like. Dearest Edith and Maureen, it's been amazing having you back, so thanks. That's very kind. I'm writing for advice on a tiff I'm having with my boyfriend at the moment. I like stacking all of the TV remotes by size, small to the left and big to the right, but Pete likes it in order of how he uses them. Which one of us is right?
Well, thank you for writing, first of all. I think you might be the most boring person that I've ever imagined. This is what you're having a tiff about. I'd say that you probably belong on some form of spectrum here, based on the way you're writing that you like to sort them by size. He likes to sort them in order of how he uses them. I think both of you should move in with Stephen from Port Lincoln and dress up like his mother and do the rest of us
a favour. Yeah. Yep, yeah. I have to agree with you. Yeah.
How do you use your TV remote, Edith?
Well, mine's on a cord connected to the television still. We've had the same television. It was a wedding gift, actually. I got that off my aunt, Glenda Waverley, and it stayed with me ever since. Unfortunately, you can't really get any channels anymore on it. It's just fuzz. It's just white fuzz. But I sit there and I laugh and I giggle and I enjoy it.
Yes. One of the favourite things when I was a little girl, when we first got a TV in 1956, was we'd have it on, and by then there was no actual television programmes being broadcasted when we got it. We'd just turn it on, there'd be fuzz in the corner, similar to how Edith did it. And my brother, and I give this advice to you, listener, ran with his head first into the television, picked up the TV as it was sparking and going crazy, and jumped in the bath with it.
I hope that helps.
I hope that helped. Have we got one more?
Yes, do you want to read it?
Okay. Dear Agony Grands, well, my name is Maureen, but anyway, not really looking for advice so much as a chance to complain. You are in the right place, darling. Why is everything crap now? I used to buy a jacket and it would last me a decade. Now it's lucky to last me through the winter. Television used to be exciting and engaging. Now it's just idiots making shit for idiots. I don't know if I agree with the language, but yes. Even bars and entertainment venues used to be places where you could go out and meet people and have new experiences. Now no one will talk to you because they're all staring at their phones. Am I looking on the past with rose-coloured glasses? Or am I right? Is everything crap now? That's from Anthony in the Fortitude Valley, and that's in Brisbane.
Anthony, I am so sick of people like you telling me that the world used to be a better place. If you are walking around in a crappy jacket that doesn't last the year, you know what, love? Don't shop at H&M. Go and save your money and buy another jacket. You'll find one a little bit nicer if you spend a little bit more money, you tired ass. We didn't used to buy a jacket with half an hour's wage either, you know. Mm-hmm. Oh, television isn't exciting anymore. Oh, it used to be... Yeah, there used to be two bloody channels, Anthony. There used to be four people on television and they all looked exactly the same, Anthony. You are not required to watch every single show that is on, Anthony. It's not being made specifically for you, Anthony. Even the bars and entertainment venues used to be places where people would go out and meet people. You know what, Anthony? You can go out there and meet people still if you want. Go up and bloody talk to them if you want. You know, no one's stopping you. Oh, they're all looking in their phones. No one wants to talk to you. Perhaps, you know what, Anthony? Perhaps that's on you. Perhaps the people in their phones are more interesting than you. You know, they've got these contraptions in their hands that can speak to people all around the world with the blink of a hat, Anthony. They can look up any piece of information that's ever been known by human history, and you want them talking to boring you in your shitty little jacket. Well, Anthony, that's on you, love. That's on you.
Yeah, you're gay, Anthony.
And now a word from one of our sponsors. Oh, hey, Queen. Do you love to slay hunting?
Well, now you can serve Cunt Queen on time with your very own gay clock. Gay clock is... well, it's just a fucking clock for gays, so you can learn how to be on time. You're 38 years old, it's not cute anymore. Act like a fucking adult and take some responsibility. Sending a message at the time that you're supposed to arrive to say that you'll be 5 minutes late and then rocking up another 20 minutes after that is no longer acceptable. And while we're at it, being obsessed with S Club 7 is not a personality. Get your shit together. Gay clocks! They're the tea, honey. Lesbian clocks sold separately.
Yes, and so that's the voice, you know, that the voice.
Yeah, I voted. Of course I voted, you know.
Yeah, well, what did you vote?
For Jack Vidgen. I think he's so lovely. He's got the voice of an angel.
No, Edith, that's a different voice. I'm talking about Indigenous voice.
Oh, the Wefawindum, yes. Yeah. No, I voted yes. How did you vote?
I voted yes.
Of course you did.
I'm a reasonable person. I mean, you know, you remember my place in Ballarat. How long have we got till we're back on the podcast?
A couple more minutes, I think.
Okay. Yes, oh, you remember my place in Ballarat? My great-grandfather built that house. Mm. I mean, he was just a lovely man.
Oh, where you grew up, sorry. Yes, yeah.
The place on MacArthur Street. And I ended up living there 35 years. Anyway, I moved out and moved to Melbourne and carried on with my life. Well, I went back there a few years later and new people had moved in. And I didn't know who they were. They just came in and they're living there now.
Right.
And I drove past and I tended to that house. Edith, you know me. I'm a stickler for housework. I tended to that house with such detail. I made the curtains myself. I dug every hole in the garden. I repotted all the grass and everything. Anyway, I went back years later to find that they changed the curtains.
Oh, yes.
I mean, they were my curtains. I was the one who... I looked after that house and those curtains. So I can relate to what the Indigenous people are
I'm not entirely sure that that's exactly why, but at least you voted the right way anyway. Oh, we're back on air.
We're back. Hello,
everybody. And welcome back to the Granny Bingo Wireless podcast. Thank you all so much for tuning in. It's been an absolute pleasure to come in your ears once again. Don't forget, if you are in Sydney, to book some tickets to come and see us. You can jump on our socials for the link. Or, if you're not in Sydney, tell your Sydney friends to come and see us, won't you?
Thank you for listening. It really has meant a lot. You know, there's two things in my life. I wake up and I watch Studio 10, and then I make this podcast. It's the only two things I do in my life. Edith doesn't understand me. No one understands me. But for me, it's an important part of my life. So the fact that you're listening, the fact that you might come to our Christmas show on the 18th of December in Melbourne, the fact that you might come on the 8th of December in Sydney, the fact that you might come at all means so much to an old broad like me.
Because my family don't come anymore.
No.
My son doesn't come. My sister-in-law does not come at all.
Yep. Your cousin has never come.
I don't think my cousin's ever come, no. So the fact that...
he's a priest.
All of these lovely people might come, whether they're coming in Sydney or coming in Melbourne, I don't mind. But as long as they're coming, that to me is really the magic of Christmas.
That's right. I totally agree with you. Make sure you tune in next week on the podcast. I'll teach you how to make Coke no sugar a normal Coke again.
I'll teach you how to invent your own arcade game with a tin of pineapple rings and your husband's ding-dong.
And it's arts and crafts time with me. I'll show you how to turn those old dusty vinyl records into perfect drug apparatuses.
But until then, kiddies, ta-ta!
Have a fab week, dolls. Great to catch up.
I've thrown out all the glassware at the home.
I put my foot into a piping hot cup of coffee last week.
I'll say that again.
I put my foot directly into a piping hot cup of tea this morning, Edith. It's not funny.
No, sorry. I'm sorry. It's not. No. I...